When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On this episode of Narcissist Apocalypse Q&A, we discuss the top signs of trauma in adults. Welcome to Narcissist Apocalypse Q&A, everyone. I am Brandon Chadwick, and today we are going to discuss the top signs of trauma in adults. You may be going through these things before a relationship, within the relationship, after the relationship. These are things to look for. Sometimes these things can really get in the way of living, but also within the relationship, some of these things might be getting masked of what's really going on as well, and we'll get into everything. But if you want to be a guest on our Survivor Story shows or Survivor Story episodes, please do go to NarcissistApocalypse.com. Top of the page, there's a button that says Guest Form. When you click on that button, it takes you to our Guest Form page. There you can read all of our instructions and either send us an email at NarcissistApocalypse@gmail.com or fill out our guest form and press the submit button, and please do send it in the format that we ask for. So again, as I said before, today we're going to discuss signs of trauma in adults. And the first one I have on my list is hyper-independence. And for hyper-independence, you can't be let down by someone or anyone. If you never ask for anything in the first place, you never ask for help, you don't want to be a burden to someone, everything is then on your shoulders. This can be very tiring, and you probably want help, but just don't know how to ask for it. And this could just be a very big catch-22. And if you're a hyper-dependent person in an abusive relationship, this can mask that you are with an abuser for a very long time until the day you finally say no or ask for something. It's why I recommend for people to say no early on in relationships and often, just to see how someone will react to it. Obviously, in the aftermath of a relationship, hyper-independence can really wear one down. So it's important to start creating a support system and really start to rely on other people. Hyper-independence can really get in the way of your life. And the next one on our list here is difficulty trusting. And this is the fear of getting too close to people. It's very linked to the one I just mentioned, hyper-independence, you know, childhood trauma, particularly if it was caused by a caregiver, can really lead to trust issues. A person may find it difficult to believe that others have any good intentions, fearing they might be hurt or betrayed as they were in childhood. You know, in the aftermath of abuse, you might have difficulty trusting for a very long time. You feel that your compass or your ticker, your inner ticker of who to trust, can I even trust myself, will be broken. Because of what's happened, it's hard to figure out trust with others, especially if you don't think you can trust yourself. And I hear this a lot of times on the show, people say, trust your gut at the end in their words of wisdom. But for a lot of people, trusting your gut, you know, they have a hard time after because they felt that they were trusting themselves throughout this whole process and they chose wrong. And figuring out trust or what your compass is or if you have good readings at all is very difficult in the aftermath. So difficulty trusting is a very big thing. Another sign of trauma in adults is low self-esteem, low self-confidence, you know, having a negative view of oneself, feeling unworthy or unlovable, feeling you don't look a certain way, lack of competency, lacking in confidence. When this is happening, either it was created from childhood, created within the relationship. Sometimes it's created in childhood, and this low self-worth, you get into a relationship with an abuser and you quickly hand over your self-esteem and self-confidence into their hands for them to just absolutely obliterate even further. You know, within abusive relationships, the abuser creates this trauma. By manipulation, they try to erode your sense of self. You know, it becomes harder to leave. Even if you have left the relationship and, you know, you've left the childhood abuse, you know, if you're doubting, you know, a lot of time what you're saying is the right thing, or if you're doubting if you acted the right way in a social setting, you know, asking people like, are you behaving correctly? Are you a good person? If you're doubting a lot of these things, it means that a trauma has most likely gone on in your life. And it's something that you should be looking at, because it's something, you know, you don't want to be walking around that way all the time thinking, you know, just doubt and fear and, you know, that anxiety that could be going on. And the next sign of trauma in adults that we have is fear of being judged, fear of rejection. And childhood trauma can really instill a deep-seated fear of being rejected. And this fear might make it challenging to fully engage in a relationship, worrying that the other person will leave them. And an underlying fear is that their partner will eventually leave. So this underlying fear that the partner will eventually leave, these thoughts often reveal themselves in everyday situations, such as getting scared when a partner goes out by themselves, or being unable to like self-soothe if your partner leaves the room during an argument. You know, this fear is sometimes manifested as jealousy, in some extreme cases, possessiveness. This is something that can destroy a relationship as well. And within abusive relationships, you know, this type of trauma can put someone in a bad spot by just, you know, giving too much of themselves, or just by giving too much of themselves without really anything, getting anything back in return. And that's because, you know, you don't want to be rejected. You don't want to be judged. So you're really at that point kind of turning into people pleasing, which we will eventually get to. And that's the next one on our list, which is excessive people-pleasing tendencies is a sign of trauma in adults, and having a hard time saying no. And when you have a hard time saying no, eventually you might become resentful. You know, you want to be seen as good. This is a survival technique that can now hinder you as you have gotten older. And you can be taken advantage of because, you know, you feel the need that you need to do this, or you need to be loved to survive. And this manifests when a victim can't get out of an unsafe situation and ends up people-pleasing as an attempt to avoid setting off their abuser, or, you know, they minimize the extent of the abuse. And that comes to fawning. We hear a lot. We've done episodes on fawning before. And fawning is, you know, a strategy where you are going to be, you know, trying to please the abuser to be safe. And then you have codependency, where you're kind of merging with the abuser to connect with them to feel safe. And you're constantly feeling that you need approval from other people, whether you are in an abusive relationship or out of an abusive relationship. You know, if you're constantly feeling that you need to get approval from other people, and you're always doing things to people please, you know, it's a survival technique that you've used a lot of your life, and you're giving away you in this process, and you're not taking care of your own needs. And over time, this could become tiring, and you could become resentful because you're not getting the things you need in return, because you're just always doing and people pleasing for others, you know, because it's naturally ingrained in you. So if you think that you are and an excessive people pleaser, always doing these tendencies, you know, and it's hard to stop, it's a sign that you have been through trauma. And an offshoot of people pleasing is feeling guilty for taking up space. And that is saying sorry a lot of the time. And it's just not a Canadian saying I'm sorry all the time. It's really saying sorry all the time for something that you did not do, you know, not speaking up at all, and being overly considerate, I would say. You know, you feel guilty for just living, and it provides the ability to just be walked over in every situation in life, and you could become just really a human doormat of sorts. And this can be created in childhood or by a very good victim-blaming abuser within a relationship where, you know, just you let their space, you let their ego, you really let the other person take up all of the space. And you feel guilty if you have your own needs, and you feel guilty for taking anything. And it really, you know, just kind of think of a giant room and you're in this corner. And, you know, this isn't just in childhood or within the relationship, in the aftermath of the relationship. If you're feeling like you only, you know, deserve the corner, and you feel guilty if you take other things from other people, or you ask for your needs to be met, if there's guilt involved in that, and you're feeling like you're this person just kind of cowering in a corner and you're letting everyone do their own thing, you know, you're not doing a service to yourself, and it's a sign of trauma, that you've gone through trauma, and, you know, you deserve to take up more room, more space in a room. And it's just, as I said before, another sign of trauma in an adult. And the next one on my list here of trauma, signs of trauma in adults, is oversharing when you haven't known the person long, or the opposite, where you don't open up to anybody. You have two extremes here, and some may be turned off by oversharing. You know, there's a lot of people out there who hear someone overshare and they're like, oh, this is too much for me to handle. And that can really hinder creating relationships. For other people, that might be like way too overwhelming to hear right off the bat. And then the opposite way, when you're undersharing, it makes it difficult to make friends or connect with others as well. It's harder to get to know people. And, you know, eventually, if you're undersharing in certain situations, things can become surface level, and you might not like the surface level relationship, even though you're taking part in it. The other person might, you know, be like, oh, we're not kind of connecting here, and the relationships could dissolve or just not go any further. And when it comes to sharing too much, being an undersharer, you might have shared too much in your life within your family or within a relationship that became abusive, and you might have had all of those things used against you, and that is hurtful. So it's a very difficult thing to try and like open up and share. It's hard to open up because of the trauma that you've gone through, you know, because it's hard to trust other people after that. And, you know, to use your most vulnerable things about you, the things that make you tick, the things that you might have as your identity, to have those things taken from you and used against you, and maybe even your traumas used against you. It's a very difficult thing in the aftermath to open up to other people. And, you know, that's why there's these kind of two extremes. And you know, I'm not saying to, hey, go open up to everyone right away, but there has to be an equilibrium here, because what we're talking about here is two extremes, the oversharing and the undersharing. How do we meet in the middle for this one is something for someone to work with when they're working with a therapist, if you can afford a therapist, and, you know, or you can go to a support group. But, you know, these things are signs of trauma in an adult. And up next, we have having a hard time showing or feeling emotions. And sometimes having a hard time even describing how or why you feel some way is a very difficult thing. Yeah, when I do the show, I like to have people describe how they were feeling, what they were feeling, what emotions they were having. Some people can do it, and then some people can't. They just don't have that ability. They, a lot of times they grew up and they weren't allowed to have feelings. They weren't allowed to have emotions. They don't know how to even connect to them. And a lot of people end up, emotionally numbing themselves. Depersonalization becomes a big thing. You really may have never been allowed to have emotions. They could have been really minimized. So you get used to stuffing these things down and bottling them up. And you could have been someone who everyone looks at as like, hey, this is a real even-keeled person. But you've been taught to really like not rock the boat or like else. And it's hard to have conversations or get close to people when you can't feel or understand what's going on inside of you. And, it's a big, big issue for a lot of people. The people who have a lot of emotions sometimes I think might take for granted, when someone asks like, how are you feeling? And they can't even locate what that is, or it might take them a very long time to, understand what's going on because they haven't been allowed to for most of their life, feel in a lot of ways, or just been minimized in such a way. And so when someone says like, I'm okay, like what does okay mean? Maybe that person doesn't know, like I'm fine. When someone says that, you're like, they're not fine. Like what's really going on? But for some people, they don't even know where to even begin to understand what's going on. Cause that could be scary for a lot of people to really kind of start deep diving into emotions. Cause it could be so overwhelming of what you find underneath. It's the equivalent of, oh, I'm going to go fix this one thing inside this wall, and you open that wall and all of a sudden you see that there's mold inside, there's this inside, there's this inside, there's this inside, and now you got to tear down the whole entire thing. It's a scary thing to go inside a wall and fix that wall sometimes, which is, why it takes a long time for people to maybe start dealing with the idea or the thing that they don't feel their emotions or have a hard time showing their emotions, because it's a scary thing to deal with because there's trauma that is sitting behind it all. And the next sign of trauma in adults is hypervigilance. And hypervigilance is a way for an individual to protect themselves from feeling overwhelmed by their emotions. When a person is hypervigilant, they are constantly on the lookout for any potential threat or danger, which can lead to them feeling stressed and anxious. It's a survival technique. And from parents, siblings, bullies at school, abusive partners, you don't know when someone really might fly off the handle. Or when it comes to possessions, how things could be stolen or taken from you. Even if you go back to like the Great Depression, an example of a hypervigilance that might be there is when it comes to money and to all the little tiny things you have, like a penny saved is a penny earned. Things were so scarce back then that there could be this real hypervigilance about like, saving every little tiny thing because you just never know when, the big boom is going to happen again and, the depression will just unfold in another way. So there's a hypervigilance from, a socioeconomic perspective. But because of this, when people are hypervigilant, some offshoots that happen here, you might need a lot of space, time to yourself. Your central nervous system is just in this constant state of hypervigilance. And when you become an adult, you might need help to calm these symptoms of anxiety, nervousness, fear. So you might stay home where you can kind of control your surroundings. You can feel safe. It allows you to relax. And with extreme cases, you'll get a lot of social anxiety, agoraphobia. And some of these anxieties could manifest in obsessive compulsive behavior, because that's about safety and control, from cleaning to locking doors, checking if the doors are locked. So this is hypervigilance and how it can really affect you. It starts off as a survival technique and you're using it to survive. But, you know, in the aftermath of abuse from childhood or relationships, being hypervigilant all the time and having this anxiety when these things aren't going on will start to kind of work against you. And it's a big sign of trauma that you're still carrying it as an adult. And next on our list of signs of trauma in adults is the ability to stay calm in emergency or chaotic situations. And some in this camp are just very calm in emergencies because they are just used to the chaos. And then when there is no chaos going on, they might have crippling anxiety when things are normal, because during these times they're thinking of all the possibilities of the things that could go wrong. It's quite an interesting thing, this type of trauma, you know, where you're able just to stay calm within chaos, but then when things are normal, you know, the anxiety starts to show. But this is a real thing that goes on. And in a strange way, we kind of hear in our survivor story episodes a lot of times when someone who's come from chaos, when they meet someone who's chaotic, it feels normal. But when they meet someone who is, you know, a healthier person and doesn't have all these crazy things always happening for you to just kind of sit with and have a normal relationship with, that thing drives them crazy. They might find it boring. It's kind of similar in a way, you know, the thing that's flatlined is the thing that's causing you the anxiety, because you're coming from the chaos. You don't know what to do with normality. You don't know what to do with calm. So then you're kind of looking for things that are wrong, or looking for issues that might be wrong with this person, or you might just find it boring. But in this case, the ability to stay calm in emergencies, you know, they have that, and then they get the anxiety when things are normal. So that is a big sign of trauma in adults. And the next one on our list is scared of conflict to the point where you avoid it at all costs. And people in this camp are certain that when conflict happens, the other person will hate them or it will just end horribly. So you avoid conflict altogether because you're used to never really see people calmly sit down and discuss their emotions in a loving way. That world does not exist for you, the people that are dealing with this. So avoiding conflict can then have just really things build and build and build. And if it's a new relationship, this is not good. Resentments might just continue. This could happen in the workplace as well when it comes to coworkers or how you're feeling about your workplace. So this is a big sign of trauma in adults. And this goes with the offshoot of peacekeeping. So when you're little, you might not want, you know, your parents to fight or other family members. You don't want to see them mad at each other. So you're this in-between, you know, your parents might be fighting constantly. You know, you become this peacekeeper and sometimes a really an unwilling counselor to one of them or both of them, possibly too. So as an adult, this propels you to be a peacekeeper later on in life. In between people, or if you're in a relationship with an abuser, you really might hate conflict a lot. We hear this on the show, where specifically the people who are peacekeepers, they really dislike conflict a lot, and they just go along with things, and they're very empathetic to what the other person has gone through. They don't really say no. There's no pushback. There's no saying, you know, your needs aren't being met in any sort of way. And sometimes that can really mask that the abuse is going on because you are such a peacekeeper. You just don't want any fights to happen. You hate conflict that much. So abuse can really take hold and you really don't ever speak up or fight back. You just don't know how. Depression can really set in for a lot of the people that are going through this. And then usually, you know, we've had stories sometimes of people who are peacekeepers and they don't really know that there's abuse going on for a very long time, you know, and then the first time they say no, boom, they really get to see who they're dealing with. So peacekeeping within an abusive relationship can really mask what's going on and keep you in an abusive situation for a very long time. And then in the aftermath of all of these things, when it comes to peacekeeping, you know, this can really affect your work life. And it can also, you know, just affect your friendships, and it can really affect every single aspect of your life, because you don't really like conflict. So you could become a doormat in a lot of ways, and you have to try and figure out how to kind of say no eventually, and to really start standing up for yourself in a lot of ways. And the next sign of trauma in adults is perfectionism. So when it comes to perfectionism, you just need to be perfect. Nothing could ever be good enough. You're very hard on yourself, not satisfied with what you've accomplished, not seeing the good and only, you know, really the bad that's happened. It can really zap the joy out of everything. You see the outcome over the process, and this can lead to a fear of failure, high need of control. Anxiety can become a big issue. If you go into a relationship, it can be a big reason why you stay longer. You don't want this relationship to fail in any way, so you might stay. You know, and when trying to heal through being a perfectionist, you know, you might be like, I'm not doing this fast enough, you know, and that can build and build and build. You know, there's not one way of healing. So that's a big sign that you might have trauma as an adult, when you might have perfectionism in your life, that you're not really enjoying the things you're doing. You're kind of really looking at the outcome and why am I getting there, and, you know, the process of everything, enjoying that gets taken away, and it takes just the joy out of a lot of things away. And the next one on this list of signs of trauma in adults is over-explaining. And earlier I used oversharing, but over-explaining is different. And over-explaining is when you're just really trying to justify your thoughts and actions. You know, you're preparing for someone to like really demand an explanation from you, or you think that someone might be judging you, or the fear of judgment, that you're a bad person, that you're wrong. You know, it just feels like you need to over-explain to justify what you are doing, who you are as a person, just to exist. And this can happen from, or, you know, your childhood experiences. This could happen from an abusive relationship. And it's like you need to, you know, prove, you know, to yourself that you exist, and you exist in a good way and in the right way. And it's a dynamic where things have shifted, and you are, you know, kind of looking up. And I've actually had this happen before myself. And it was a very weird experience. And I noticed it when it was going on. And I had gone through a lot of therapy at this point too. But I remember I was at a table with my friend and these two older people. And one of them, and this person was very intimidating looking, who was sitting across from me. And they were asking me a question about like what I did for a living. And all of a sudden I tried to start justifying, you know, my life to this person. It was just the demeanor in which they looked at me and how they were holding their body in this intimidation that I was kind of feeling. And I just started to try and justify it. And it felt like I was scrambling and I was scrambling and I was scrambling. And I felt like a kid sitting there. I just felt like a child. And it didn't feel good at all. And I remember when we left that situation, I was with my friend and I was like, I felt like I was justifying what was going on. And they looked at me and go, they saw the whole thing. They're like, what was that? They used a swear word in there, but they said, what was that? And I said, I don't know. All of a sudden I reverted to being like a kid, and that like, I felt like I needed to justify myself to the adults in my world. And it didn't feel good. And that's just a sign of trauma or unresolved trauma that I was going through in that moment. And if you're going through that, when you're kind of trying to justify yourself by over-explaining, you know, what you're doing to kind of prove yourself, that's, you know, a sign of trauma. I've been through it, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now have been through that too. So next on our list, signs of trauma in adults, so something that we've kind of mentioned already a bunch of times, Anxiety disorders, depression, you know, traumatic experiences often create feelings of insecurity and mistrust, which can really make it difficult to, you know, form healthy relationships. It can cause problems at work, school environments. So trauma leads to changes in the brain, and that makes it more difficult to regulate your emotions. And this makes it very hard to cope with stressors in everyday life, leading to anxiety, panic attacks. People who have experienced trauma often have difficulty sleeping, which can really further increase anxiety levels. Sometimes I get anxiety because I can't fall asleep. Then I start thinking about, oh, I got to get up at this hour. And then that just kind of goes and goes and goes. And then all of a sudden I don't get good sleep at all. And then there's depression. Depression, it can occur particularly when the trauma is really severe and long-lasting. Trauma can cause changes in the brain that lead to this depression, as well as feelings of hopelessness, helplessness. And people who have experienced trauma, this type of trauma, often struggle with sleep, appetite, which further contributes to the depression. And next on the list here of signs of trauma in adults is dissociative episodes. So dissociative episodes are characterized by a sense of detachment from one's surroundings and oneself. And these episodes can vary in intensity, and they really may last for a few minutes to several hours. And during dissociative episodes, individuals may feel as if they are observing their own body from outside of themselves, or they're just in like a dreamlike state. And dissociative episodes can cause memory loss, difficulty concentrating. Some individuals may also experience changes in their sense of time or space. And we hear on our show a lot when people have like dissociative episodes. We've talked about dissociation before. You know, so later on in life, you know, depending on, you know, what our surroundings or our triggers are, you know, dissociative episodes occur when it's just like a coping mechanism for never having dealt with, you know, properly processing or dealing with the trauma that happened. And this leads to people feeling as though they are like constantly reliving the trauma, which can be very distressing for a lot of people. So it's really important to have a support system in place if you're kind of dealing with this, you know, if you're dissociating from reality as a way of coping, because, you know, chronic dissociation can really be very, very challenging to overcome. And another sign of trauma in an adult is communication issues. And if you're someone who, you know, doesn't have the ability to communicate your needs, desires, feelings, you know, this might make life very difficult. You know, communication comes to misunderstandings and conflicts in relationships, whether they're adult relationships, romantic relationships, friends, family, workplace kind of stuff. If you're having ability to have proper communication, that's a sign of trauma, that you've gone through trauma, and a sign of trauma in adulthood. And then the last one on our list here is just physical intimacy problems. So if you've gone through childhood trauma or relationship trauma, sexual trauma, physical abuse trauma, you know, you might have a very big difficult or very difficult time having physical intimacy in adult relationships. And it's just another big sign of trauma in adults. So that is our list of signs of trauma in adults. And, you know, these things are stemming from your childhood, or they're stemming from the abusive relationships that you've been in. And if you're seeing that you have a lot of these signs that I've just mentioned, that you have a lot of these traumas still kind of going on as you're an adult, you know, hopefully you start to kind of address these things and work on them a little, so you can have a more functional life as an adult, or healthier one. Whether you go into another relationship or not, it's a good thing to, you know, work on these things and grow. So hopefully you found all of that useful. And if you have any show ideas that you want me to do that we have not covered yet, please do email me about that at narcissistapocalypse@gmail.com. And if you are someone that wants to be a guest on our Survivor Story episodes as well, you can go to narcissistapocalypse.com and we have our guest form there. You click on the guest form page. You can see all of our instructions, read all of the instructions, and then send me an email at narcissistapocalypse@gmail.com or fill out our submit form and press the submit button, our guest form, press the submit button. And just please do send it in the format that we ask for. And if you are someone that needs support, whether you've gone through childhood trauma, relationship trauma, maybe you are seeing a lot of the traumas that I'm mentioning today in you and you need support and you can't afford a therapist, well, we have a support group at NarcissistApocalypse.com and you can find that at NarcissistApocalypse.com. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just repeating things. But you go there, you click on the support group button, and inside you'll see that we have Zoom meetings every Wednesday night, Thursday afternoons, and Saturday nights. We have forum boards for you to post on to get the validation that you need from survivors just like you. You can make great friends on there. So join our support group today if you need support. And if you need even more support, please do visit our friends at domesticshelters.org. At domesticshelters.org, they have articles and resources to help you make sense of what you're dealing with. They have every phone number, email address, and web address for shelters and agencies, no matter how big or small the town you are in. Domesticshelters.org has it there. And we have another friend of the show called Shelter Movers, and they can be reached at sheltermovers.com. And Shelter Movers helps people who are going through domestic violence, coercive of control, get all their things out of their home and into storage. And that includes their pets and livestock too. And it is a donor-supported charitable organization in Canada. So if you go to sheltermovers.com, you can get help from them or you can donate to them. And it's a wonderful organization, sheltermovers.com. And that is it for today's episode. I hope you found this episode helpful and informative, and I hope you have a good night.